Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. Mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. The book of 1 Thessalonians and chapter number 4. We're continuing with our Sunday school series of issues of life answered from the Word of God. And we're thankful that the Word of God does have answers. And it could be an encouragement and that we could be biblically based people. We're thankful for the timing of God's Word too, that He knows what to give us right when we need it. And we find our way to the New Testament book of 1 Thessalonians. The book of 1 Thessalonians. I often call it's in the T section. 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus. Just right there in the middle of the New Testament. And we find our way to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And notice with me in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And let's pick it up starting at verse number 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with them. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, notice the word or the phrase in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Notice with me verse number 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 18. Notice this phrase, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Comfort one another with these words. Of course, the context is talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ. And so the question we want to answer from the Bible today, is there comfort in the second coming of Jesus Christ? Is there comfort in the second coming of Jesus Christ? Now, as we study this, we start off in verse 13 where the Apostle Paul is writing to the church of Corinth. And he says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Now, this all is prompted because as the Apostle Paul had gone through to preach and teach at the church of Thessalonica, he began to talk quite a bit about the second coming of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ is coming. He promised he would. And so as he made that promise, as he left, someone came up with a good question. Mr. Paul, you talked very much about the coming of Jesus Christ, but we have a question. What happens if someone dies before the Lord Jesus Christ comes? And that's a great question. What happens if someone dies before Jesus Christ comes? Well, as the Apostle Paul takes pen and paper and under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he answers that question and he begins in verse number 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, meaning I don't want you to be lacking information. I want you to know this concerning them which are asleep. The word asleep is a nice Bible way, kind Bible way of saying that they passed on, that they're dead. He says, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, as even as those which have no hope. We understand that the funeral for a believer is quite different than a funeral of those who do not know Jesus as their Savior. They're night and day different. That the Bible says, I don't want you to sorrow as those that have no hope. For those who do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, there's no hope. But for those of us who have loved ones who have accepted Christ as their Savior, and we've accepted Christ as our Savior, we don't have to sorrow as those that have no hope. In fact, we have great hope. We have the hope that we'll see them again. Verse number 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. With this, it's talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ. And when the second coming of Jesus Christ happens, that what's going to happen is that all our loved ones who have passed away knowing Jesus Christ, they're going to rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall meet them together in the air, in the clouds, to meet with the Lord Jesus, and will forever be with him. You see, if our loved ones have accepted Christ as their Savior, and we've accepted Christ as our Savior, we have the promise of God, we will see them again. What a great comfort that is. So if you don't mind, as we've studied this just a little bit, let's dive in a little bit deeper and see what the Bible has to say. Is it truly a comforting thing? Is there comfort in the second coming of Jesus Christ? Well, the first thing that we want to understand as we build this case here, build this idea, first of all, is the promise of his coming. The promise of his coming. Jesus Christ promised he was coming again. And we as Christians, this is our great hope. This is our great comfort. Notice, if you don't mind, in the book of John, the gospel record of John chapter 14. In the gospel record of John chapter 14, Jesus Christ is in his last night with the disciples before he goes to the cross. He's already had the Last Supper, and now him and his disciples are beginning to make the trek up to the Mount of Olives to pray. And there Jesus Christ is going to be arrested and put on trial. Within 24 hours of this message here, may I say 12 hours of this message here, Jesus Christ is going to be placed upon the cross. And so he only has his disciples, he's gathered them aside, and he tries to give them a message of hope, knowing that he is going to go to the cross and he is going to bleed and die for your sins and for mine. And in the book of John, the gospel record of John chapter 14, notice what Jesus says to the disciples starting at verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now, whenever we understand and study the Bible, we have to ask ourselves a couple questions. First of all, who is speaking? Class, who is speaking? Jesus. Who's he speaking to? Disciples. Then when we understand this, we have to see, how did the disciples understand what was being said? Well, under Jewish custom, what would happen when two people were obligated to be married, contractually set aside to be married, what would happen is that the groom, the husband-to-be, would go off and he would leave his bride and he would go build a house and prepare a house. So as soon as they got married, they had somewhere to live. Imagine that. What a great concept. And so he had to prepare the house, and it wasn't up to him when the house was acceptable. It was up to his father. His father would inspect the house, and when the father felt like the house was ready and the son was ready, he would say, son, go get your bride. And back then, they didn't set up wedding dates. They didn't say, well, December 6th at 1 o'clock. But what would happen is that the bride had no clue when the husband would come back. All she knew is that he went to go prepare a place, And she was waiting for the time that he came back for her. And so she had to be ready. It could be morning, could be night, could be noon, it could be soon. All she had to do was prepare and wait for the coming. And so as Jesus is describing this, he's given the same idea that I am leaving you and I'm going to go prepare a place for you. And I'm preparing a place for you because I want you to come with me. And let me tell you, if I go away, I'm giving you a promise. I'm coming back for you. Amen. And so the disciples knew that. They didn't know when he was coming back, but Jesus made a promise. And when everything is set up, Jesus Christ is coming back. And they were supposed to take comfort in this. Notice in verse 1 again, let not your heart be troubled. Now, they were going to go through some troublesome times in the next 12, 24 hours. Jesus Christ was going to be taken from them, arrested, put on an illegal trial. He was going to be crucified after being tortured. And then he was going to die for their sins. But on the third day, he was going to rise again. But in that period, there was going to be some troublesome times. But he says, believe ye in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Now he's trying to tell him that I'm telling you the truth. I'm not making something up. I'm telling you, I'm going to go prepare a place for you. I'm building it for you. Verse number 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. That's a promise. And receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Jesus said, I will come again. Well, of course, we know that Jesus Christ died on the cross and he rose again the third day. Turn with me, if you don't mind, to the book of Acts. You're in the gospel record of John, just the next book over. In fact, just a couple pages over. In the book of Acts, chapter number 1, we know that Jesus did die for our sins. He was buried on a borrowed tomb and he rose again the third day. He spent 40 days with his disciples and then he ascended to heaven to go prepare a place just like he promised. Notice if you don't mind, as we walk with the disciples, Jesus gives them one last reminder of what they're supposed to do while he's gone. But notice with me in Acts chapter 1, and notice with me in verse number 9. Acts chapter 1 and verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, two men stood by them in white apparel. Let's pause there. So Jesus Christ gives some last minute instructions to his disciples. Then he raises his arms and he starts floating and flying and going up. And up, and up, and it goes beyond the sky, beyond the clouds, up in the sky. Now, if you were there, you would do the same thing the disciples did. Looking up, do you see him? Is he coming down? I mean, you've never seen this before. He just took off and went up in the air. And you're looking, and you're trying to see, is that a speck? I mean, is he still there? Can you still see him? Anyone have eyes on him? And they're just, all of them, just staring up. Finally, God has to send some angels to come and kick them and say, boys, notice what he says. Verse 11, these angels, these two men, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. And so they said, boys, what are you doing? Jesus said that he's coming back. You need to go do what he told you to do. Don't just stand here. He's coming back. He made you a promise. He's coming back. By the way, let's show the emphasis here. First of all, it said this same Jesus. May I remind you that things that are different are not the same? Amen. This same Jesus shall come in like manner. That means the same way that he went up, he's coming back. Now, did Jesus go up physically? Yes, he's coming back physically. Did he go up in a body? Yes. Then he's coming down in a body. When it was this same Jesus, is that same Jesus that's coming back? We're not getting a replacement Jesus? Yes. Good. So did Jesus go up literally? Yes. He's coming back literally, not figuratively. This same Jesus is coming back in like manner. He's coming back. And so here's, not only did Jesus give the promise to the disciples, but the angels came and retold it. Hey guys, don't look up at heaven. He's coming back. Do what he told you to do. This same Jesus is coming back. They have the promise on it. And Jesus Christ is going to come back. Jesus went up in the clouds. Is he coming back in the clouds? He is. This same Jesus shall come back in like manner. Notice, if you don't mind, in the book of 2 Peter chapter number 3. The book of 2 Peter chapter 3. Of course, Peter was one of those disciples that was there that day that watched Jesus Christ come up. At this time, another 30 or so years have passed. And Peter is writing about this in the book of 2 Peter, chapter number 3. The book of 2 Peter, chapter number 3. And notice this, if you don't mind, as we get a good running start. Let's start in verse number 1. 2 Peter, chapter number 3, and notice with me in verse number 1. This second epistle, beloved, I write unto you, both in the which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. I'm trying to stir up your remembrance. I'm trying to remind you of some things, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that means this is important, that there shall come in the last days scoffers. Now, I know this may surprise you, but there are people who scoff at the Bible. That may have caught you by surprise, but there are people that scoff at the Bible. By the way, the Bible even explains why they scoff at the Bible. It says, walking after their own lust. Do you know that there's no scientific or historical or archaeological reason to doubt the Bible? Then why do people doubt the Bible? Because they don't want the Bible to tell them what to do. They walk after their own lust. And so the people scoff at the Bible because they don't want the Bible to tell them to do. But notice the three areas that people scoff or accuse the Bible of not being true. Verse number 4, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? You know what one of the people say? You Christians have been telling us that for 2,000 years, Jesus Christ is coming back. Where is he? We've been waiting. You've been telling us it's not going to happen. After 2,000 years, just give up. So they doubt the second coming of Christ, saying, where is the promises coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, notice this, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. So they deny creation. Creation's not true. That's not how it happened. God didn't make everything. Verse number 5, for this they are willingly ignorant of. In the Greek, that means stupid on purpose. Yep. That they deny these things on purpose, even though it's in front of them. Nope, don't see it, don't see it. For this they are willingly ignorant of, by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world was then, or the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. So notice these three things that the Bible scoffers deny. They deny creation, they deny the Genesis flood account, and they deny the second coming of Jesus Christ. And they feel that if they could attack those successfully, there's no reason to believe in the Bible. But notice as the Bible goes on. So again, he's acknowledging that there's many a people that are saying Jesus isn't coming back, Jesus isn't coming back. Notice with me verse 7. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Let's pause there. This is not telling you that one day equals 1,000 years. What it is saying is that time is not the same for God, that we've been waiting for thousands of years, and for God it's been one day. It's no time at all for him. Amen. Not a big deal. So we may be waiting for a long time, but for God it hasn't been any time. Notice with me in verse number 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, meaning that God keeps his word. Some people that will tell you they're going to keep a promise, and they don't. We understand that some people don't keep their word, but God, He always keeps his word. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward usward, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Here it says, why is it that Jesus has delayed his coming? Because he wants as many people to come to know Christ as Savior as possible.
Amen.
He is delaying because he wants people to still be soul winning and telling people about Christ and trying to win them to himself. He's waiting for that last person to get saved. By the way, isn't that a mercy of God?
Amen.
Aren't you glad that God waited until at least you got saved? Before he came back and gave us that opportunity? God is waiting for as many people to come as promised, but he is coming back. We have the promise of his coming. Not only do we have the promise of his coming, but the Bible describes the plan of his coming. The plan of his coming. So what's going to happen when Jesus Christ comes back? Well, as Christians, we call this the rapture. It is also in the Bible been called the translation. We talked about the translation of Enoch. The word rapture just means calling away. And what's going to happen, the Bible explains, that in a twinkling of an eye, by the way, that's 1/1000th of a second. In a twinkling of an eye, we're going to be gone and out of here. Jesus is going to call us. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be called up together with him up in the air. Oh, we get to meet Jesus. That is our hope, that at any moment he can call us. And we're going. That's the plan. Now, what happens afterwards? Well, afterwards, here on earth, as we are disappeared, there's going to be a 7-year period called the tribulation. And during that tribulation period, God is going to be dealing with his people Israel once again to bring them back to himself. Then after the 7 years of tribulation, Jesus Christ is coming back with us. And we get to come and watch as Jesus Christ establishes what we call the millennial kingdom, the 1,000-year reign of Christ. And we get to come back with him. And will rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. By the way, that's a literal 1,000 years. We'll be with him. And that God is doing this to bring us with him. No wonder the Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Notice with me if you don't mind, book of 1 Corinthians 15. The whole chapter is talking about faith and that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And if he rose from the dead, he proves a couple things. One of them is that Jesus Christ is coming back. As he describes that we're going to get a brand new body and a little bit of how this body works. Notice if you don't mind, as we come to the conclusion of this chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, notice with me in starting verse 51. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting at verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Remember that word sleep is a nice Bible way of saying to pass away, to die. He says, we're not all going to die, but guess what? We shall all be changed. We're all going to get brand new bodies. We're going to get a brand new redeemed body. We're all going to be changed. And some of us won't see death to do that. Verse 52. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruptible, meaning this rotten, filthy, nasty body that's falling apart, I get a brand new one that's not going to fall apart. And this mortal must put in immortality. This body that's going to die, I'm going to get a brand new one that's not going to die. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Meaning that death doesn't have a final victory. Death is going to be defeated.
Amen.
And what's going to happen? Oh, death, where is thy sting? Meaning those people who died, they're going to be risen again. And they're going to be able to say, death, you had nothing on me. You couldn't keep me. Jesus is more powerful than you. Then there's going to be some that says, oh, grave, where is thy victory? There's going to be some people who are never going to see the grave. Isn't that a wonderful idea?
Amen.
Notice as it goes on. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Let me tell you, we're going to be caught up with those people who've passed on before, and we're going to see those loved ones again if they've accepted Christ and we've accepted Christ. No wonder we can have great comfort in the second coming of Jesus Christ, because it's going to be a day of rapture. It's going to be a day of redemption. It's going to be a day of reunion, where we get to see our loved ones once again who have passed on, if they've accepted Christ and we've accepted Christ. Which brings us to one last thing. Not only the promise of His coming, and the Bible says over and over, it gives the promise of His coming. Not only the plan of His coming, the Bible describes how this is going to work and the time frame and what's going to happen. But then we understand the preparation for His coming. The preparation of His coming. Jesus Christ is coming back, and we must prepare. How do I prepare for His coming back? Well, we've said over and over that we have to recognize that Jesus is our Savior. What does that mean? Well, first of all, that I'm a sinner. And because of my sin, I've offended a holy, righteous God. And because of my sin, I deserve to be separated from God into an awful place called hell. But the good news is I don't have to go there, that Jesus Christ paid my price. And when I come to the place where I recognize that I'm a sinner and because of my sin I deserve hell, but Jesus died for me and I personally accept Jesus to be my Savior, the Bible promises that He's forgiven me of all of my sins. I've now been adopted into a brand new family, and that when I die, God is going to keep His promise to bring me with Him. We need to have that preparation. Are you 100% sure if something was to happen to you? Are you 100% sure that your sins are forgiven? Are you 100% sure that you would spend eternity with God? Well, the Bible says that you can know, and He wants you to know. You need to have this nailed down. Do you know for sure that heaven's your home? The Bible says you can. So as we consider all of this, no wonder the Bible ends up in this statement. Notice with me in the book of Revelation, chapter 22. Revelation 22. As we finish up the Bible, notice, if you don't mind, one of the last words said inside of the Bible to give us this hope, to give us this encouragement, to give us this comfort. Notice what it says in the book of Revelation 22, and notice with me in verse 20. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. You know how the Bible ends up? It ends with the note, with the encouragement that Jesus Christ is coming again. And so as we ask this biblical idea, is there comfort in the second coming of Jesus Christ? We can say yes. There is hope in this coming of Jesus Christ. That as we lose loved ones, as we lose friends and family, we have the hope that if they've accepted Christ as Savior, and we've accepted Christ as our Savior, we will see them again. And what great hope that has for us. That it's not so long forever, but it's see you in a little while. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you could give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.